guys and how we were approaching it. And I think what we agreed yesterday was that we were going to, once we put together our hypotheses about possible market segments, definitions, that we would take a close look at them and give them scrutiny to make sure they actually looked like they were reasonable substitutes. And similarly, as we're creating the market definitions, I think the one market definition that's still open is the language-based one. We would make sure that it was those definitions were sufficient to encompass possible substitutes, including in the case of, for example, Chinese might include pinyin in addition to Chinese script, for example. So as much as trying to figure out what the language of definition was. So, but in any case, we wanted each of the market definitions, I think we agreed yesterday, would try to include the relevant, all the TLDs in that sort of definitional exercise would be substitutes for, reasonable substitutes for one another in the opinion of this group at least. So I'm hoping we can do something, one thing we can do very quickly is maybe talk through the definition from the language subteam, because Dan had indicated yesterday they were a little stuck maybe. And then once that's done, I'm going to suggest we break up into our sub-subteams for maybe half an hour, an hour, and try to actually identify all of the hypothesized groupings, just like we already basically have done for the topic groups. So Stan can probably take a nap or something during that time. Yeah, go ahead, Stan.
Well, I thought the definitions that people wrote were fine. I mean, they were, in terms of words, they both sets made sense to me. Both the language and the script.
So apparently there's disagreement within the language subteam about their own definition.
Well,
so.
but those seem to, they made sense. What we didn't do is the next step, which was we'll take the definition and create some candidates.
Right, so that's what we will do. We'll spend some time on shortly. Maybe, Dan, do you want to summarize what the disagreement is with the language team?
Dan, speaking, generally we didn't disagree with that definition, but we didn't agree that it's the final version. We had some version circulated through the list, and the latest version I sent yesterday to sub-team. And during the our last email correspondence, we concluded that it would be very helpful to ask the other members of sub-team what's their opinion about the proposed draft of definition. So we are interested now what you think about this definition, and if you agree with that, we don't have nothing to add or change.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. That's a helpful clarification, okay. Dan. So at least Stan has voted. He thinks it's fine. Kylie, you look like you wanted to make a comment. Go ahead, Kylie.
Well, so I just want to say again, well, I do not believe in this kind of approach, segmenting the market according to whatever criteria. Because by this approach, we're just like defining, for example, taking the language, for example, we're defining, well, as long as two GTLDs are not using the same language, then they do not belong to the same market. There are two problems with this approach. Number one, well, by defining things not in the same market, this way we cannot define what are in the same market. We just define this and that is not in the same market. We, no matter how far we go along this way, we will not be able to define what are in the same market. So that is not defining markets. We are defining non-markets. So these two are absolutely two different things. That's number one. That's a fundamental logic. Okay. Number two, again, taking, say, language as a criteria, okay. Yesterday I mentioned, well, just China's conglomerate, CITIC, standing for China Investment Corporation, China International, CITIC, CITIC. Okay. So, for new GTLDs, the CITIC has registered two GTLDs. One is using the English abbreviation of .CITIC, another using Chinese characters, Zhongxin. Okay? Of course, they can use the Chinese pinyin, which Zhongxin. Okay. So, however, because they are the same entity, so I would say they replace each other, and therefore substitutable. All the three will be mutually substitutable, and then actually all those three encompass three different languages. One is English abbreviation, another is the Chinese character, another is Chinese pinyin spelling strings. Okay, but because they're the same entity, they're clearly substitutable. And therefore, by all definition, these three belong to the same market because they are substitutable. So that means crossing over the language barrier does not necessarily mean they're not in the same market. So that's just using the language criteria as an example. At least I see two problems. One is this way we're defining NIM markets, not defining markets itself. Secondly, this criteria can be easily crossed using CITIC as an example. I believe in other languages, okay, I would imagine in other, especially in the Asian-based languages. Yeah, right. So that means first, language may not be a criteria to distinguish different markets. First of all, this approach, I do not think is logical. So therefore, just using language as an example, but I believe the same thing exists for geographical segmentation as well as that kind of a grouping practice as well.
All right, okay. So we've got a little bit of a cue. I'm just going to make a very brief intervention and say, while I understand your concerns, I think as Dan pointed out yesterday, if we don't do this, we're making an implicit decision that everything is together in one market too, which might be equally as flawed in terms of reasoning. So we'll get at you in a minute, Kyla, but I want to let the other folks speak first. And I guess I just make the personal observation, I don't want to let the perfect be the enemy of the good here. It would be good. One of the things I think we should do probably as part of our work here is once we've come up with these hypotheses is test them. And we could ask maybe you have to throw more stuff either into this registrant survey into maybe a follow-up specialized survey of existing registrants in some of these domains. TLDs would be to ask the registrants, would you consider these things as reasonable alternatives? And then we can find out whether registrants think they're substitutes or not, as opposed to just us hypothesizing. But that's one possibility. But let's let Waldo and then Megan, and then we'll go back to Kylie.
I don't know. I think Waldo, for the record, I think I can say two things. First of all, I think when we're doing these segmentations, we have to have some level of holding some things constant, some assumptions. And hold some things constant. That's the first thing. The second thing, if I come back to the specific example that Kylie has mentioned, I believe that we still have the language market segmentation. Because if you take that example, you have a word which is in Chinese script. Now, if I'm a registrant and I want to get something in Chinese script, let's say for Beijing, let's say Beijing had a TLD in Chinese script. If I want to get a domain in Chinese script, to me, my market, the market I'll be considering is the one for Chinese script. So I wouldn't really, for my market, I would not really be considering the pinyin or the what do you call it, Latin equivalents of the same. I would be looking for Chinese script and any script that is or any domain that I can get that is in Chinese script is the one which will be substitutable for me. So I still believe that we have the language market segmentation.
Yeah, that makes sense. So your observation, Waldo, might be that you might, CITIC might also want to register, they might get duplicate multiple goods that are slightly different, but when they're registering their Chinese script TLD or SLD, it's really just the Chinese TLDs that are going to be appealing for them. They might get CITIC.com.cn, and then they might get the Chinese version in .beijing or the Chinese script.cn. Any case, Megan, Kylie, then Jonathan.
Okay, thanks, Bob. I think...
Okay,
it's Megan, for the record. Well, I agree a lot with what Wado had said, and I think that what we're looking at is not a limitation, but trying to group these aspects into boxes. And it doesn't mean that the boxes have hard edges. They obviously go beyond that. So there must be a market, as Wado said, for Beijing written in Chinese script. But there probably also is a market for Beijing written in pinyin and also in Latin script. Well, Beijing, I don't know how you say it in Chinese. Beijing, perhaps. But anyway, you probably write it in pinyin differently. Let's say it's Peking. But those are different markets because you have those who are looking for it in Chinese script, those who are perhaps English speakers who are looking for it in English or in pinyin. But so what we want to do is distinguish different parts. I don't think we're limiting in any way the assessment. But that's my.
I might say something similar, so maybe wait.
Yeah, go ahead, Kylie. Okay, go ahead, Jonathan.
I think the answer may lie in taking a step back from the exercise, which is what is the question we're asking in a segmented way? And so when we're talking about linguistic segmentation, what we're saying is, has the number of choices for speakers of Chinese increased or been enhanced by the program? In other words, have new options become available for speakers of Chinese? So that specifically excludes the people that were using English in the first place, et cetera. It's more like if we take people that speak Chinese, do they now have more options available to them? If people are speaking Arabic, do they now have more options available to them? And so I would suggest that the English language version is not a substitute for the Chinese language version for the segmentation we're trying to create. In another segmentation, which is geographic, they are all in that market. So for this particular, the question we're trying to ask is, do Chinese speakers have more options now for strings that they can register than they did before? And so I think if we ask the question that way, it feels simpler to answer it. And in some respects, what we're also saying is that they now have an option other than English. And so that the comparison isn't just substitutability between each other, but do I now have something that is other than having to use special codes after the dot to type in the URL, et cetera, so that maybe more content will be created? I mean, I think we all know why we're asking the question, and so have more choices been created, I think, is the way to think about it.
Yeah, go ahead, Kylie.
Yeah, Kylie Khan again. Yeah, well, exactly, actually. I believe, I agree with all of you, especially Jonathan. Okay, you mentioned these three having the English abbreviation, well, and the Chinese character, and they increase the choices. Exactly. And therefore, they are substitutes of each other. Exactly. So that means by the new TLD, we have, because they are substitutes of each other, so exactly these three are in the same market. Because there's, well, how do we define markets? Well, the goods are substitutes of each other. Then they are somewhere in the same market. So, dot CITIC, dot Zhongxin in the Chinese characters, and dot ZH, well, the Chinese pinyin, they are substitutes of each other. So these three are in the same market. Okay, so this exactly proves that the new GTLD has introduced competition. Okay, so that's why I say we agree with each other. However, we need to get the right conclusion. Yes, well, by breaking the language barrier, actually, we defined a market. These three, although they're in different languages, they're the same market because they're substitutes of each other. And also coming back to Waldo, okay, well, I agree with you. In some cases, different languages are barriers. They segment different markets. But in some other cases, like I just mentioned, they're not. So we cannot just say language, we can segment the market by different languages. We need to look at them one by one in each different cases. So, therefore, what I'm trying to say is it's not doable to segment the market one by some general criteria like languages or geography or even grouping.
Could you answer, is it possible to answer the question whether the number of choices available to Chinese speakers has increased?
Yes, it has. Well, just like for CITIC, conglomerate.
So
now
if you can answer that question,
choices.
It ought to be possible for us to pose the question.
Now there are three choices, so certainly the choice has been increased. And these three are in competition against each other because they're exactly the same entity. Anybody can choose to use any one of them. So the choice has increased, and these three are in competition. There are substitutes, and these three are the same market. However,
right.
Again, nothing else.
All right. So,
I would not want to include CITIC, these three, into any other market, not even in the brand market, because, well, BMW is not a substitute for CITIC, and CITIC is not a substitute for BMW either. So, overall speaking, I do not believe in this kind of grouping.
All right, so we've got a cue, so I'm going to
okay.
I've got Stan, Waldo, Dan. I'm just going to intervene and say, so I don't want all of our time today to get caught up in the meta conversation. I want to actually, unless Kylie has persuaded everyone that we should not engage in this exercise, in which case we shouldn't do it. I want to make sure we actually have some time to spend on the segmentation effort. I will say, just as a point of reference, I think in Stan's original projects, one of the implicit things we will get is treating all the new GTLDs together plus the existing GTLDs as one big market. And so we'll get that perspective as well. So that we could compare the dynamics of the one big market versus some of these segmentation efforts. But I can come back to Kylie, but let me get to some of these other folks first.
One word.
That was it.
Well,
oh, done.
You were saying that as treating it as one market.
Correct.
What I say is other way around. We treat it as a NIM market. Overall, NIM market.
Let's go Stan and Waldo.
Jonathan isn't quite right because it's we're doing the idea, and if you look at what the analysis group did, it's much more than asking the question of whether or not the number of choices increase. So if you go back and look at their table, they define a market, and they actually report, if you like, market shares for that market. So it goes beyond the question of whether the number of choices is increased. It basically says, if this is a market, how concentrated is it? Okay. Second, and I've given up trying to convince Kali of this, but we did exchange some offline emails, and I came across what I thought was a really kind of nice, pithy description of what the activity involves from a trade press report. So let me just read it. It says, where are we? Market definition is, quote, that imperfect art and science effort by which courts gauge a merger's competitive effects. So no one's pretending here this is physics. This is it's an imperfect approach, but you have to do it if you want to analyze competition. And I don't claim more for what we're doing than that it's an imperfect approach to this problem. But if the objective is perfection, then we might as well just give up.
All right, Waldo, Dan, and we'll try to wrap
record,
up this conversation.
I think I just reiterate what Stan has actually said, the imperfect nature of what we're doing. We really have to hold some things constant in the definition so that at least we're able to put together those groupings. And in terms of this example of the Chinese, I think when we talk about Chinese language, we're really talking about that market that is just interested in the Chinese language. So I don't see how we can have the like you say, CITC in Latin script being in the same market. I don't think it's I don't know. Maybe I'll give you an example. When we went for the ICANN meeting in Beijing, I recall that we were told that when you get to the airport, the taxi people, they cannot speak English, they cannot read English. They just know Chinese. They can speak Chinese and they know the Chinese script. So we were given pieces of paper with our hotels where they are. So when you reach the airport, you just give these people the piece of paper and they'll take you there. So this I'm thinking of when you think of that market now, the Chinese market, they're not really much interested in these other scripts. They are just interested in the Chinese language script. So if you are talking about for the Beijing or for the .cn or the .whatever, it should be in the Chinese script.
So, Kylie, if you have a very brief response, and then Dan, and then I'm going to suggest the path forward.
Well, Kylie, again. Well, first of all, I agree with Waldo. As a matter of fact, what he just said is not everybody would agree on the substitutability. For example, the taxi driver, which only reads Chinese, he would not agree on the CITIC is a substitute of Zhongxin in the Chinese characters. However, for me, it's perfectly fine. So that further complicates our definition of a market, because not only it's different according to what we see, but also depends on whoever is the subject of seeing. It's a scholar, professor, or a taxi driver. So therefore, I'm not looking for perfection. As a matter of fact, at least I am looking for some kind of reasonability, some kind of reason. Okay? Brand names, Citic and BMW. So the fundamentally speaking, what is the market? substitutability.
Yeah,
well, if we can substitute these two, then they are the same market. If they're not, we cannot substitute, they're not the same market. In that sense, okay? Well, just what Waldo said, for me, Professor, CITIC, .CITIC, and .Zhongxin, substitute. Substitutable, and for tech driver, it's not. And also, well, that kind of grouping, it's a, well, for example, the house or home rental is clearly not substitutable as a for sale. There are totally different meanings. And, well, as a matter of fact, the fundamental point is substitutability, whether they are the same market. So by this kind of grouping, it has nothing to do with substitutability. So therefore,
right, so I think we agreed yesterday, Kylie, that we're going to take a close look to see if we see problems where there's obviously non-substitutes in the same grouping, we'll change that. And the other thing I want to emphasize is I said earlier that it may be valuable to actually ask registrants. Like, we don't need to rely purely on our judgment. We can actually get some data to ask people whether they believe
end users. Whether
it's only registrants that matter.
Okay,
they're the ones paying. Doesn't matter if the taxi driver agrees it's a substitute or not. It only matters if the person that's paying for the domain registration agrees it's a substitute.
I would say, actually, whether the registrants believe they're substitutes, well, it really depends on. Well, for example, yeah, right, Stan, you say Coke and Sprite.
Say anything.
You did. Well,
the doctor say something.
Yeah, okay.
People wouldn't substitute Coke for Sprite.
And somebody else would.
Do enough to put them in the same market.
Okay.
It's not required for everybody to regard these two as substitutes for them to be in the same market.
Right. Okay. That is subjectivity. Subjectivity, okay. So it really depends on who looks at it. Really depends on who is looking at it. Okay. So anyway, in any sense, I do not think, well, first of all, what is our job? Our task, is it to prove something? Or no, we are not to prove something. Yeah. So what we want to do is, well, why do we want to define the market? After all, okay.
So I think the answer to that question is easy because we have various measures of concentration and competition and various analyses that we would like to perform. And in order to perform those analyses, you need to have some hypothesis at least for what the market looks like. So I'm going to ask to hold off just a minute. So Dan's been waiting a long time.
Okay.
I'm going to let Dan talk, and then I'm going to wrap things up because we're 7 minutes longer into this conversation than I want. All right, Dan, go ahead.
Dan speaking. I want to...
That's terrible, Dan.
I wanted to return to relations between IDNs and ASCII domain names, and Stan gave me a good example with his drinks. IDNs can be, for example, Sprite, and if ASCII is Coke, IDNs can be Zero Coke or Diet Coke, but they are not completely different products. So Jonathan mentioned the same. They are just another new options for local registrants or for someone who speaks language of IDNs. And I have some experience with IDNs, but in CCTLD's fields. And our experience is that IDN users didn't find the IDN domain name as a competition for ASCII. They are, in the many cases, decided to register both. And there's very small number of IDNs if you compare with the Latin domain name, and in almost 100% of IDN's registration, they are before that and continue to renew their previous domain name. So users then don't see IDN as a competition for ASCII domain name.
Thanks, Ed. That's a helpful perspective on the actual registrant experience. So what I'm sensing as the sense of the room here is that Kylie has an objection to this approach, but the rest of the sub-team seems supportive of the segmentation effort. So what I'm going to suggest, Kylie, is we're going to go ahead and do this exercise and see what it results in. If at the end of the process and we do this analysis, you still think that it's not yielding a satisfactory result or it's flawed, in the report that we produce, we can note your objections and why there were concerns raised, but we decided to do it anyways and explain why people who are supportive did it. So that way both perspectives can show up in the report. But in the meantime, to make sure that we don't lose out the opportunity to at least try the analysis for those that are supportive, I want to make sure that we have some time to actually do this. Does that sound like the right approach to everyone?
That's a really quick question. Yeah,
Jonathan's got a question.
I don't know if this is Jonathan for the record. Are we able to identify the sites in .com and .net or some subset that are already in non-Latin text in terms of content? Has that kind of a study been done? Because it could be that we could get halfway to solving Kali's objection by including, and in a way that will make it more interesting, is to see whether these new options, in fact, prove to be competition, is to say the .com sites that are in Chinese language are in competition with the new IDNs where the domain is now in Chinese characters. But there's already plenty of .coms where the content is Chinese, and so that is, in fact, part of the market, in a sense. If we wanted to talk about things for language Chinese speakers, it's not just about the domain. It's like it's going to include com where people are doing it now until there were IDNs. So my guess is that work has been done to identify those or at least get some numbers around them, but I don't know the answer to that.
This is Aliza. I certainly don't have that data. My guess is there's probably market research out there on that data that might require some digging to find.
Right. All right. So why don't we – that's an interesting suggested approach, Jonathan. So why don't we try to see if we can identify such data? It sounds like the sort of thing VeriSign might include in their periodic reports on what's going on in Common Net. So they may know the answer.
They may capture enough to give us some idea.
Yeah.
We're doing stands calculations in that market that include new sales and things like that, which is where we think we'll see the most adjustment as opposed to overall percentages.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jonathan. That's a very helpful suggestion. Wow. Is your mic on for a reason?
I don't know. Just thinking about what Jonathan said about the two types for example, the one in Chinese script and the .com equivalent. And I think you're talking about the .com equivalent having Chinese content. I don't think those two will be competing. Pardon? Yeah, I don't think they'll be competing. They will be in two different, language-wise, they will be in two different markets altogether. Because this .com one, how do you reach it if you don't know Latin script?
People have been reaching it in China for many, many years by doing escape sequences. So there are, in fact, ChineseContent.com pages today, and people just had to go through an exercise to get to it. So I would say that it's direct competition, that for the people that are trying to create content for Chinese speakers, they now have alternative to doing escape sequences to type.com, but they've been doing it. It's just been inconvenient. It's not like there hasn't been any Chinese content.
Well,
what you're saying is that finally, through the final registrant, he'll just be seeing the Chinese language. He'll not be seeing the
In many, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to drag it out. In many instances, they're actually able to use Chinese characters for the second level domain, and then have to use escape sequences to type in the COM.
The registrant.
The end user.
The end user.
So the registrant, having not had a choice of an IDN, has been registering a .com, and what it looks like inside the VeriSign database is something incomprehensible, but what it looks like when it's typed in China is Chinese characters. And
yes.
So we've already had that for a while now, where the left of the period was IDN, essentially, and the right was .com. So the only real change with IDNs is the ability to do the rest of it in Chinese characters. And so I would consider, since this is all about generating content for a language community, that those two are perfect substitutes.
All right, Megan's got a quick point, then I'm still going to cut off this conversation because I want to find, let's find out if the data is available.
Right.
This is a moot conversation if it's not, so go ahead, Megan.
I wanted to agree with Wado and Jonathan. Now you're going to wonder how I'm going to do that. because I agree with you on the Chinese characters and .com, but then it has to be in the second level character. So it's not just the content. So you couldn't have, I don't know, Beijing.com and then the rest of the content in character. You have to have the string, Chinese character. If that's the case, then I would agree, because we're supposed to be looking at GTLDs and not just the content. There are lots of, I can give you all sorts of examples of Greek websites where the content is all in Greek, but the string is entirely in English, Latin characters, excuse me. And that's a different kettle of fish for me. So with that minor adjustment, if you agree,
the data is actually more likely to exist
let's see what data sources exist, and that can help inform this conversation. So it's now 1:45. Here's what I'm going to suggest, that we break into sub teams, except one thing actually, Stan, you could do is maybe work with Aliza and figure out how to translate Stan's spreadsheet. I'll hand it over to you too. Yeah, how to turn that into electronic versions of the groupings, essentially, so that we can operate on them. Yeah. And then the other two sub teams actually need to come up with their groupings. So we'll spend. Let's see how we do. When's the theoretical break next?
2:30.
So 2:30 to 2:45. So from now until 2:30, you can run into the break if you're running behind. But we'll reconvene as a big group at 2:45 and see how we're doing, whether we need more time on this exercise or what. And Aliza has an observation or a question.
I have a question. This is Aliza. It's more of a larger procedural question. I'm looking at your high-level research question. Where does this exercise fall?
So this is the – some of them yesterday we put stars next to. So for the ones that where we think that it's appropriate to do a market segmentation for the particular research project, then you would perform that same exercise for each of the identified market segments.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around prioritizing as well. And maybe that's a discussion to be held at the end of our sub-team meeting today, but there's a lot of different requests that have come in, and I need some help in determining what's a top priority and what's not.
I suspect that these generally
Finding
are...
Finding more interns.
I think the things we flagged, we'll have to take a look and see if this is true or not, were largely the more mechanical sort of questions. I suspect once you had a spreadsheet that supported doing this for one market segment, that applying it to more would probably not be too hard, but maybe I'm wrong. But you could just do like a filter on, like, here's the equation, like do it with this filter turned on for these particular TLDs and repeat that exercise once per market segment or something like that. Anyways, we can talk about that. But it seemed to me that it tended to be the ones that didn't require, it was taking existing data and just running it through an equation as opposed to having to go and do a bunch of research per market segment, which I agree would be very time-consuming. So we'll have to apply that feasibility test to the segmentation analysis. But so let's break up into our sub teams. We can maybe we'll send the geography subgroup over into the corner over there, And we'll leave the language team here at the big table, and Stan is going to work with staff on figuring out how to take his paper thing and turn it into an electronic thing. And we'll reconvene at 2:45 in this group and see how we're doing. Thanks. But I think we all, just to come back to the previous conversation, it seems like everyone's okay with the hypothesized language market definition. I didn't hear any objections.
Almost everyone, right, exactly.
I'm happy with the definition. I just wanted to double-check the technical correctness of IDN and ASCII. Is ASCII only in Latin characters with no other umlauts or anything? ASCII has all the other.
No. So ASCII.
Just clarify
ASCII
that.
Is,
so we make sure we have the exact
is,
correct.
Is Latin A through Z and 0 through 9 and hyphen, and that's all that's included in non-IDNs. Anything with an umlaut or an accent or anything like that. That's what's called extended Latin, and that creates an IDN.
Okay, good.
But there still could be word like hotais. Is like that's a Portuguese word that is rendered purely in ASCII, right? So, but that would still be a Portuguese. That would
so
still
even
be part of the
umlaut or something are considered IDNs.
Yeah.
They would still be IDNs.
Oh,
correct.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, Kylie, briefly.
Just one more thing. Kylie can speak again. Yeah. Well, I agree to be precise. Agreed with that kind of market segmentation. However you want to cut up the market is fine for me. However, what I want to emphasize, point out is, that is not market definition. Market definition is substitutability. It's not to be cut up into pieces.
Okay, so we're going to do the market segmentation exercise right now.
Yeah,
and we're
going to
do some analysis on these
but
market.
However, whether that's a market definition, that's another.
Right.
Issue.
So we'll get. Thank so that's a fair observation. So what we're agreeing to is a definition for market segmentation purposes for our current exercise, and we'll be back in 55 minutes.